I'm Heather Bosch. Major wildfires are burning on both coasts of the U.S. New Jersey Forest Fire Service Chief Bill Donnelly is on the fire lines in Passaic County.
Make no mistake, though precipitation is forecasted, that's not going to solve the problem that we have here with this wildfire. It's inevitable that this fire is going to continue to burn up until it reaches our control lines.
Wildfires are also burning in New York. Firefighters in Southern California are gaining ground on the destructive mountain wildfire. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Lauren Posen is talking to people there.
Rafael Frankie says he and his wife left with just the clothes on their backs and their dog as the flames inched closer to their home.
That's something you work on. I work all my life on. That's kind of a retirement stage that you're preparing, my wife and myself, and everything goes in smoke.
President-elect Donald Trump is assembling his team. CBS's Robert Costa spoke with him.
He alone, more than any other aide, is evaluating the personnel and possibilities around him. And he reflected in one of our conversations about how he sees his mandate, that he has a movement and a base and now a party that's fully behind him. And he wants to make sure that anyone who comes on board has his same vision for that mandate and for his perceived level of support.
New numbers show Trump has won Arizona. Trump will meet with President Biden on Wednesday. Among the topics, Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jack Sullivan on CBS's Face the Nation.
President Biden will make the case that we do need ongoing resources for Ukraine beyond the end of his term, because the threat to Ukraine will remain no matter what exactly happens on the battlefield or at the negotiating table, and the United States should not walk away from its commitment.
At least one person is dead after a shooting at Tuskegee University in Alabama.
Get down. Oh, my gosh. Get down. Get down.
Get down. Get down.
Video was posted on X. The campus was celebrating its 100th homecoming. Thousands of fans came to the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati as the family of the late Pete Rose hosted a memorial visitation for the hit king. Chloe Markley reports.
Visitors made their way down the red carpet that led them to Rose's Reds Hall of Fame induction jacket, his jersey, and his family. Many fans saying Rose was their childhood hero, reminiscing on their favorite memories of him.
When he got the record-breaking hit.
He's Mr. Baseball, you know. I mean, it's not just the sound. He embodied baseball and how it should be played.
Rose was known as Charlie Hustle for his passion of the game. Rose died at the end of September. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
More good news for you. Community Stories Junior starts November 14th. It'll air on WFHR on Thursdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, breezy, a low around 38. Mostly sunny, temperatures falling through the day on Monday, and winds over 30 miles per hour out of the northwest. For Monday night, clear skies and 24. For Tuesday, sunshine, 46.
Right now, it's 49.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Director's Cut. Thank you so much for joining us. I am joined by my head of production and my partner in art, Seth Habhager. Seth, the mics are on. We are rolling. Let's dive into this.
Let's do a little bit different format here today, everybody, because we're going to be talking about a little show that both James and I are involved in, and our third member of our group here, Beth Roan Habhager.
Hi.
She will also be kind of a little round robin thing we're doing. doing yes. here, because what we're going to be talking about is a show that's going to be happening next weekend, the 15th and 16th of November, 7 o'clock over at the Centralia Center at the Lois Canton Studio Theater, a director showcase of a two-person show called Hate Mail. And we're really excited to bring this to everybody. It's this is the kind of the way I've explained it to everyone, you know, as we've been going along here. If you remember a play in like the 70s called Love Letters, basically two people on stage reading love letters that they send to each other over a lifetime. So this you can tell kind of by the title, Hate Mail, that this is kind of the opposite. Anyway, that's where they started. It was written by two playwrights, and they basically wrote each other letters. That's how they wrote this thing. So they wanted to surprise each other and see what they're, you know, do some improv while they were writing this together. What they came up with was an absolutely hilarious script, but bananas things that happened throughout this show. And it's so much fun. The first time I read it, I was like, oh man, we got to do this. So I'm really excited that both James and Beth were able to do it with me, because it's different in a way, because, you know, you don't have to memorize the lines because it's like letters. You get to read the script. But in some ways, that can be more of a challenge to an actor, you know, because a lot of times when you're on stage, you memorize the lines, you have everything set and ready, you know what you're going to do. This is a different kind of acting, if you ask me, reading your stuff, but still having to, you can't hide behind it, though. You can't just, you know, blah, 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 read the lines. You really got to put a different kind of acting. And you're going to be, it's a very simple stage. You guys are going to be just next to each, you know, sitting there for most of the show. So it'll be interesting to see how you do it. So for both of you, Beth, we'll start with you.
Okay.
What do you think about this? What is your game plan? Game plan going into playing the role of what's her name again?
Dahlia.
Thank you. Good director. I know all my characters' names.
Well, she is very different than I am. So it's kind of a unique and wonderful challenge to play somebody that's so not like who you are, and try to get into that space. The other challenge is it's really like having two one-man shows, mm-hmm. side by side, right. paralleling each other. Because there's very little, except for the very end, where it's really like an interaction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to figure out how to do this, where do you react, do you not react? And that's where you as the director are really crucial in saying, okay, this is what's going to make the most sense and how people are really going to understand it. And to be able to do this opposite James is both daunting and joyful.
You make it blush.
That was good. I didn't see that coming. I couldn't agree with you more working with you. But I actually had a question for you about that, and you kind of answered it a little bit, because coming from my background, I've worked a lot, but I haven't done much of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm used to a script. I'm used to being told what to say, how to act, what to be, and stuff. We have our own creative process we put into these mm-hmm. characters,
right.
but so much of it is already built into the character
mm-hmm.
That we're kind of working around almost and working with. It's a dance that we right. do with these characters to make them believable and make it seem like these are our lines, these are our thoughts that we're having mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other part of my background with improv, where, well, this is my job. I do this every day. We almost do it on the air every day.
Right.
We have an outline, but I don't have everybody's lines written out or anything.
Right.
So we have to, I don't know what Seth or Melissa or you or anybody we're working with are going to do or say, and they darn sure don't know what I'm going to do or say. So you have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to. Mm-hmm. But with this, it takes that part out almost, because, no, you do have something you got to kind of say. You do have an outline.
Right.
Right.
So I was explaining this to a lot of friends of mine that I know love a lot of TV and certain particular shows like Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development, a lot of these type of shows. That's what this is in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They give you an outline, but those lines are oftentimes the actors coming up with those lines.
Absolutely,
and
yep.
While we're not coming up with lines, we are doing a lot of interpretation with this.
A lot.
And so have you gotten to do a lot of this before, Beth? Like where it's up to you to kind of create so much of it?
Not really. I mean, except for, you know, when you're on stage mm-hmm. and it's really the rehearsal process is about really finding that chemistry between the two mm-hmm. actors and interacting, this having to figure that out, how would this person on their own sit there and do this, and not having anybody to really bounce off of, because you get so much in your performance from the energy and the reactions of the other person. Mm-hmm. There is no reaction. So you have nothing to really respond to. So it's a very different challenge with this role than I've ever done, where I'm like, oh, I just have to figure this response out on my own. Yeah. It's really, how would it hit if this were an actual letter that I was getting from someone?
Do y'all think that working in radio helps us a little with that?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
It really is. It was one of the toughest things for me to get through was with, I think this is pretty funny. I'm going to go ahead and start the show with this tomorrow. And I do it, and I have no idea if it was funny or not.
Right.
Because I don't know if the audience is laughing or not. I don't know. But it's part of why, and I learned this through a lot of the people that have traveled through these this radio station over the years, how important it is to lean onto your co-hosts and have good chemistry with them, and quite bluntly, people you like to work with, because if you can't make them laugh, you darn probably aren't making the audience laugh. Ooh,
then it makes it hard. Yeah,
so it's such a barometer of, okay, well, this, you know, Seth giggled at this, you know, hey, it was all right, that was okay, you know, maybe I can work on that. It's a building block. What we're doing with this, our rehearsal time, or just, you know, having ideas off of each other, that really comes into play with this, mm-hmm. with what you're mm-hmm. saying there. Yeah. That's an interesting part of this.
Well, and it's been interesting working with Seth, because he's been able to do it with us individually, mm-hmm. because it is like this parallel one-man show. But we're also having these opportunities to sit together to really figure out, okay, mm-hmm. how would this work out? How are we going to make this look like it needs to look? And for the fact that this is Seth's first time directing solo, mm-hmm. this is a challenging piece to do. And so yeah, I give him a lot of credit to do that.
Honestly, I'm like, I'm going to make you guys do all the work. Make the actors do the work. No. You know,
for a guy who hasn't directed a lot, he's already got it down. He's already got it down.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the reason I wanted you guys to do this. This is very specific, because I know both of you, you know, you've worked together before. You guys did mm-hmm. Chapter 2 together, mm-hmm. and you had a couple of really fun scenes together. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they were pretty serious, but you know what I mean?
They were fun to do.
They were.
But that's why I wanted, because I knew you guys could get to the material and you guys could work on your own. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important on stuff like this, because what you were saying, Beth, was, there is, until like the very end, you do not react, you're not interacting with mm-hmm. each other. And even then, at the end, you have a barrier, because it's a chat room kind of right. thing. You're looking at computer screens kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why, James, what you've been calling it a little bit the last couple weeks, you know, like kind of a guerrilla kind of thing. It is kind of that way, because of the stripped down set, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you read the notes that they have before the play, they say that's kind of what they wanted with this. They said, mm-hmm. in fact, you could just have two people standing there if you wanted to, just, you know, reading the script. You could do that if you want. Now, I'm not making it that simple. I want a little bit more to do, you know, have some fun with it, right?
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, it's you guys being able to create in a way that that kind of really, however it speaks to you, how the script itself do it. I'm looking for the fun stuff, the surprises mm-hmm. and things like when Beth and I went through it the other day, you know, mm-hmm. her main part, and she did some stuff, just made me laugh. You know, it's just so good. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm hoping that I'm sitting there doing the lights kind of thing, and I'm laughing because you guys are doing stuff that I haven't seen and that sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I think the audience, whoever decides to come, and we do invite you, limited seating. Of course, it's a small theater, mm-hmm. but I can guarantee it's going to be a fun experience, not just for the audience, not just for me, but for you guys too. I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun on stage together.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores! Badgers answer right back!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'd like to have this question kind of lead into a little bit of a synopsis for the play.
Sure.
And you've touched on this already.
Yeah, right.
But as far as, like, you mentioned you read this right away, got a feeling of wanting to do it.
Yeah.
With that, you can't have just that thought, though. Your brain starts to percolate, starts to come up with things.
Yep.
I'm curious, was that, like, those percolations, those ideas, was that what got us to this point right here where we're actually doing it?
Yeah.
Because
I think so.
It's one thing, I think a lot of us read scripts we like, we think are cool, but it's another thing to want to take the initiative. It's not like you guys don't have a ton on your plates. to add this onto it, you have to really be passionate about it. You have to really want to do it. It's honestly, the fact that I didn't know the play that well, I'd heard of it, and I certainly know Bill very well, to the point where I'm calling him Bill. I shouldn't, I shouldn't do that.
Bill Corbin.
I shouldn't do that. But honestly, the look on your face when you brought it to me told me right away, I got to do this. I got to be a part of this. Like, so I could tell right away that you guys cared about it, you wanted to do this. But that's not enough. Like, to make the time to do all those things, what got you to this point with this? What is it about this play in particular that made you really want to do this? Certainly part of it has to be the ability to be able to do it. It's not a whole lot of pomp and circumstance, like you said.
Well, first of all, I wanted to do a director showcase, you know. Beth and I had co-directed earlier this year, I should say, in the beginning of the year, we did Glass Menagerie together.
Feels like it was 2 years
ago. I know. It feels like it was forever ago. But and that was my first experience of directing, you know, it's not a big show, you know, only four cast members kind of thing, but a full stage show doing all the extra stuff there. But so that was a great experience. I loved doing that. But I was looking for something small to do, just to do by myself, you know, and I was like, just a small 2-3 person role kind of thing. So I did. So what brought me to this specifically is I know one of the writers, his name is Bill Corbett. And if you're a fan of the show Mystery Science Theater 3000, he was a writer of the latter day part of the show. And he played Crow T. Robot. He was one of the puppeteers and did the voice for him. Now, Bill has a background he's got a Master of Fine Arts in playwriting from Yale University.
Wow.
He's originally from New York, but he's a very smart man. He's got other plays that are out there. He's a published, you know, he's written for the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis because he lives in Minnesota now. So I was looking at him specifically because I know I like his sense of humor and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I came across this. Now, if you read the story of it, Bill and I, like you said, James, I touched on a little bit, you know, they kind of based it on love letters, but they wanted to do something different. So that's kind of where they started from. But they didn't want to do it like a 1-for-1 parody. Then they just said, where is this going to go? Mm-hmm. So they decided to do Kira Oblensky. She's the other writer. She writes for Beth's character, and Bill writes for Preston, his character. So basically it starts off. Preston writes a letter. He lives in Minneapolis. He writes a letter to a gift shop in New York where he bought a snow globe that breaks in his luggage on the way home. He wants a refund. This is the whole reason why he writes the letter. Mm-hmm. And Dahlia is the one who receives it. And this is what starts off this really crazy relationship between
literal
the
chain
two.
Of events and chain mail.
She's the unlucky employee.
Yeah, she's the one who gets the letter and has to write back to Preston, which launches the whole show off. And like I said earlier, so these two playwrights, you know, very well, you know, established playwrights, they said, well, let's kind of improv this, okay, as we write this. We're literally going to send each other letters and see what we can come off and work off of each other, which is why
such a smart idea.
It's a really cool idea. It really is. And that's how it gets to this banana stage, because they both have really fun senses of humor, and it just, it goes off the rails. I mean, they end up traveling all over the United States. and so there's, I would say there's three main parts of it. So there's the beginning with the kind of formal letter writing between the two, and you find out more about the characters and what's happening with them and who they are, kind of thing. That's the kind of the first part. The second part is them writing little notes to each other without giving too much away. And then the final part is when they are, they meet incidentally in a chat room together. They, you know, and that kind of thing. So hijinks ensue on all three of these levels. When I read it, like I said, it's like, wow, I knew this is it. This is the one I want to do. Small, just two people, you know, and it's not going to be, the prep, I think, you know, is not going to be as intense because you don't have to memorize. You can actually read the script, but I knew I needed two strong actors in order to pull this off, because like I said at the beginning, it's a different kind of acting. So I knew I needed people who were willing to do this work, who could work on their own, because that's kind of what I wanted, is I want them to come up with their own stuff on this. I have input, but I think just small things. It's nothing big. But I love the idea of you guys doing this on your own and then coming together and seeing what comes together when you guys start doing it at the same time. That's really exciting to me.
So you kind of touched it. You said you knew you needed two strong actors. How did you land on the two that you chose?
That's a good question.
Because you're two strong actors? Because I knew that you guys, well, to be honest, I knew you guys would be a support for me, because you guys are both, you know, this is something we all really enjoy. We haven't all acted together on one thing, but and I, of course, have acted, and James and I have acted, and you guys have acted together. So I know we kind of know, you know, where we're at with this stuff. So it's familiarity, really, is what it is, which makes it more, you know, it's easier to be more secure about that kind of thing. So partially that was, I think, one of the main reasons why I decided you two specifically. And I also thought that the roles, you guys could do something really fun with the roles. You could do something. And this is really, so when we did Glass Menagerie, I had an idea of how I wanted the actors to, you know, portray their characters, kind of thing. This one is much less than that. I'm like, surprise me. Guy, I want to see what you guys do. And that's kind of the other reason why I knew I could trust you with that. So that's why I have not felt, you know, a lot. When you're directing a show, you can feel a lot of anxiety. But again, you guys doing the work, and that makes me excited. I'm really excited to see what you do with it.
I asked the question in part out of curiosity, certainly, but also it's something next year I'm looking to direct. And one of the things I did not expect about that was, oh, God, what do I direct? Like, I didn't even think about that part of it. Like, there's plenty of shows that I love and everything, but especially for an actor, and maybe it's not as tough for you guys as it is for some. I know I run into this all the time. This is a great script. I would love to direct this. At the same time, I want to be in it. I want to act. I want to
challenge.
Be in this. And deciding which, you know, picking between that. It might not seem like a big deal, but they can be tough to find something like that. And then what I appreciate, too, about you choosing to do this one in particular, this is a show that for the audience, you're hearing this and we're talking about it. And in your head, you might think at first, well, that it sounds like they're in one location the whole time. And while physically we are, we take you all over the country.
That's right. Yes.
And it's they do a masterful job of that. And I think you're doing a great job of that, giving it to the, like getting that to the audience, getting that out there to them and everything. That's a fun part of this show where we may be stationary, but we are not, we're traveling all over.
Right. It's one of those things where it's almost like a radio play, but it's really not. I mean, you could do it as a radio play, but I think the little touches that we put in it will make it just that much more fun. And I think it will give you guys the ability to do more than just, because for me, one of the things I'm really looking forward to is more like the facial expressions, what kind of thing, the kind of stuff you guys are going to come up with. So that's I'm That's going to be a lot of fun.
I think that one of the big challenges is going to be not breaking character on stage.
That had occurred to me. Yeah. That had occurred to me, but I think both, for the most part, you guys are pretty good with that, but yeah.
And to that point, you know, it tends to be one of our, you know, outside of when actors kind of lean into it or whatever, and there's not many that do that, one of our favorite things about, like, the Carol Burnett show was the breaking. What was some of those things?
Right.
And I only bring that up in the essence of what we're doing here, because this is a very intimate thing. We're going up there, and while Beth and I are crazy, you know, as far as the way we approach this art and want to, you know, do the perfect job every time we're on stage and all that, part of the beauty of a show like this, and this one in particular, is the imperfection of it, which only makes the characters that much more relatable and believable and all nothing is perfect about this show or what we're doing, because life isn't perfect. People aren't perfect.
That's one of the things I fell in love with this script. And I will admit, I am not an MST3K fan.
She is very much not.
I am not.
And yet somehow they have made it work for all these years. One of my favorite couples still somehow makes it work.
We love each other despite our flaws, right? But the writing here and the fact that these two characters are so flawed and yet are able to still keep going, that's one of the things I really appreciated about this script in particular.
I think it does something else, too, that this is a dark comedy. It's a comedy in general and all that. And we certainly want the audience to know that, you know, there is some adult language and situations and some of that and everything. But something that stood out to me right away that I had no idea that I would after our first read-through that we did. This is a great play about loneliness.
Yes. And
about how often so many of us can be lonely and not even realize we are to the point where, you know, you get that telemarketer call and you keep them on the line for like 30 seconds longer than maybe you normally would or whatever, just because you want somebody to talk to. You just want to talk to somebody.
Right.
There's so much of that in this play where both characters are lonely in different ways and may not even know it. And that relatability right there is, I think, something that stood out. I wasn't even going into it thinking about that. I was going into it thinking about, oh, where's the laughs? Where's the humor? And there's a lot of that. But so much of it, I think, is too this relatability of, especially in like a town like Rapids here and some of our clients, you know, our community members and some of that. There's a real note in that.
And I think we need to be conscious of saying that there's a trigger warning in here.
And
we're not going to go into specifics about what that is. But if you've experienced some trauma, there may be a trigger in here, so just keep that aware. The good news is that they work through that, but there could be a trigger in here for you.
Which is a good point. I hadn't thought about this, so thank you for bringing that part up. But I wanted to go into a little bit about the set, because like I said, it's a simple set. Basically, you guys will be sitting, I meant you two, not the audience. That sounded kind of weird. Anyway, you'll be at desks. So they kind of represent where you are in life, especially at the beginning of the play. And so one of the things that I think will be fun about it is that as the changes come along, you know, you guys will make little subtle changes to your costume. Basically, you'll be maybe James will put a hat on or something to see that shows where he is at the moment. Right. And maybe Beth will have, you know, something over, you know, what she's wearing kind of thing. So like I said, you know, we're still working out some of the details. We got a week, but it'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
Together.
It always comes together, especially with a group like this. But so it's, yeah, I don't want people to think it's like stationary. We do have, you know, some definite ideas about, you know, some little touches that we can put on there to make it more visually interesting, other than just kind of a static static stage, which you could do, but I think we have a little more fun with it than that.
Oh yeah.
One of the things I've appreciated this has become very much a collaborative effort, that you haven't said, okay, this is exactly what's going to happen, this is exactly how it's going to happen, but you've been open to suggestions and ideas that have been coming to you, and we've been working together to really come up with a shared vision for this show.
And that's, for me, that is what theater is a completely collaborative art. Absolutely. And I know for some directors, they work a different way. It's very much, you know, their vision and they, you know, they want it this way and that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, the tension of that collaboration, of not having, you know, maybe risking something, you know, by not having an immediate thing. Well, what do you think? Or you know, something like that. To me, that is the essence of what we're doing with theater. And I love, James, the idea of what you've kind of been presenting this as more, this is not a set thing kind of thing. This is more play around with it, which can be nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is something that not necessarily, some actors would really shy away from that. But it's there's a tension there that I think you can use. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you know, that nervous energy that we always talk about when you're on theater, any kind of theater, that you can use to your advantage and hopefully use with the audience, you know, the dialogue. It's kind of a dialogue with the audience, of course, you know, because you get energy from them. Mm-hmm. They get energy from you. It's a back and forth thing. So that's kind of where my general theory of directing theater is, but specifically for this one, even more so because of the kind of the gray areas, you know, we'll see what happens kind of thing. Yes. So, and that's nerve wracking for a lot of people.
it's being on that tightrope.
Yeah.
It's the adrenaline and excitement of being held up, suspended in the air, and the weightlessness and the cool feeling of that, while also the panic of looking down and realizing I'm on a tightrope.
Yeah, right.
It's excitement, which is an energy. We talk about this a lot, the three of us, or just in acting in general. Okay, you have that emotion. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
What are you going to do with it? You're going to let it keep you up, or are you going to put it into your character and make that character that was already going to be pretty good, now he has actual genuine human emotions put into him that you are funneling in a different way. It's going to be making these characters that much more fun to play.
Yeah. Yeah, and it allows a depth to the character that you wouldn't get. But it also relies on trust. Yep. You have to trust the other person that's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the chemistry and the, you know, we've been able to work together several times. And so we have an understanding of kind of where each other comes from and what maybe they might do, and an understanding of, okay, I need to be ready for this or that.
Well, and then when to your question before about why us, which was a great question. that's where one of those things, I'm sure you noted this during the plays when it was going on. Mm-hmm. You saw it better than we did because we were on stage during it.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned this a little bit during our run of Chapter 2. I know for me, there were at least that monologue in certain parts of the show for me that I don't know if another actor I'd be able to pull off as well.
Mm.
But you are a compliment actor. You are an actor that tries to bring out the best in your fellow actors.
Absolutely.
And you are a very supportive actor. So I knew I had that, and it's just you and I on those stage.
Yep.
So that monologue, I have no doubt in my mind, I'm able to pull that off because of the person I'm working with. You have a trust there that, hey, I'm going to fall. I know you're going to catch me.
Yeah, and I felt the same way with you on stage doing that, to be able to, because your reactions need to come from a genuine place of what the other's giving you, and the way that you're able to put all of that in there allows that reaction. And we're not, I think there'll be able to be some reactions between the two of us without being an obvious reaction between the two of us.
Yes, yes. I'm really glad, thankful for the read through so I can get some of my laughs out of my system.
So
I,
So yeah, and that's going to be, to me, that's the best part. That's the best part of all of this, is to see a couple of people that I have so much respect for, especially for this, that I know are going to do such a great job. But the little unknowns, to me, that is the best part of any kind of performance, any theater performance. You don't know. It's hard to describe to people who have never done it before.
Yes.
Okay, you've worked so hard, and I'm talking just like a regular play here. Mm-hmm. Work so hard with people, and you got your character down, and you're like, okay, rah, I'm ready to go. And then during the performance, something little happens, and you're like, ooh, that was different. How can I, you know, bounce off of that? How can I do that? And part of that is to keep it fun for the actors, because you've done it so many times. You know, you get to the point where it's like, well, I want to play. I want to have fun with this. And those are the best moments on stage, especially when the audience responds 100%. To it.
Oh,
and that is just, it's, there's no feeling in the world than being able to get a response out of an audience. It's amazing.
It's part of why we're so encouraging to people to try theater.
Yes.
Give it a chance to get out there, whether it's backstage or on stage. What we're talking about is something you have to feel to really get. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to feel it, to feel in general.
Well, and the reality that there is no unflawed performance. There's always going to be something that doesn't go the way you planned it or wanted it to go. There's always that little bit of unexpectedness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you utilize that? You know, do you let that derail you, or do you figure out a way to incorporate that and make it better so that, you know, the best shows are the ones that allow that flaw or that unexpected to make that show a perfect show.
There's something about that, all that added on to that, you get two shots. You get two shots at this. We're so used to at least getting seven of these.
Yeah,
you know, at least
seven. Right, yeah.
That part, I haven't had that since I was in California, where you only get like two shows. And hey, you got to make it work on both of these.
Right. Yeah.
That is exciting. And also, you have to bring your A game in every moment.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it can be daunting. It can be. Mm-hmm. But again, I have the confidence, man. I think I couldn't have picked two better people, because you guys can do it. You guys are going to nail this. Man,
it's gonna be so much fun.
I'm telling you,
and you out there are gonna love hate mail.
Yeah,
and you're gonna love hate mail.
I think everyone. So, just a quick reminder: come on the 15th and the 16th next weekend to the Lois Canton Studio Theater, 7 o'clock performances on Friday and Saturday. You can get your tickets right now. Go to wrctheater.org, and you can go ahead and pick your seats. Like, I believe the capacity is 44 seats for
something
each
like
performance.
That.
But get them now. Make sure you reserve your seat.
Yes.
We are super excited to bring this to you, everyone, and we hope you come down and have a good time. And once again, thank you both for doing this with me. I know it was a little different. The rehearsal schedule was really weird and stuff, because of everything else going on at the time.
Yeah.
But thanks for sticking with it. I do appreciate you both for doing that, and I'm really excited to see what happens next weekend.
Find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We will all meet you there.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. And we'll be back here in just a minute on Director's Cut.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. Crews are battling several wildfires in New Jersey. State Fire Chief Bill Donnelly is on the fire lines of one that's burning along the border with New York.
Currently, the fire is 2,500 acres. We have 0% containment.
President-elect Donald Trump is assembling his team. CBS's Bradley Blackburn on what to expect.
While some presidents have formed cabinets that are teams of rivals bringing in their former opponents, Trump may favor loyalists.
Trump says he wants to cut aid to Ukraine and bring a quick end to the war when he takes office. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells CBS's Face the Nation.
It should be up to Ukraine to decide for its own sovereignty and its own territorial integrity when and how it goes to the negotiating table. It should be up to the United States and a coalition of nations that we have built to continue to supply Ukraine with the means to defend itself against brutal Russian aggression.
CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, breezy, a low around 38. Mostly sunny, temperatures falling through the day on Monday, and winds over 30 miles per hour out of the northwest. For Monday night, clear skies and 24. For Tuesday, sunshine, 46.
Right now, it's 49.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. Seth and James here with you. And our special guest this week, Beth Habhager. And I appreciate you being here, Beth. Thanks so much for hanging out
with us. It's always so much fun spending time with you guys.
It was a lot of fun to talk about hate mail. And we'll kind of wrap up giving you the details, where you can get tickets and detailed dates of the shows and everything before we wrap up. But I knew we'd have a little time to kill here. And since we got Beth with us, and Beth, of course, used to work at a Walt Disney World.
I did.
Yeah. I feel like I always mess it up and say like the wrong one, because there's Disney World and then there's Disneyland.
Yes.
But I couldn't help myself. I've had this topic. When did I get this? October
19th,
2023. Over a year.
I've had this for a while. But I've been waiting to have a good place for it. And this is why I've had it, because last year Disney celebrated their 100th anniversary.
They did, yes.
And MovieWeb.com put together the impossible task of ranking the 30 best animated characters of Disney's history.
Wow.
Well, and there's been more that's come out, I think, since this list.
So there's always going to be honorable mentions, and I think we can get some of those in if we have time at the end. But we'll kind of just start at the bottom here, work our way up.
All right, sounds good.
And at number 20 on the list, Snow White. Snow White from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Wow.
One of the originals.
Yeah.
She is the original,
she
right?
was, well, of the full-length movies.
The first full-length movie,
The first full-length animated movie was Snow White in 1937. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised she's that low, actually.
Me too.
She's
I was very surprised to see that one low. Yeah. Number 19, Judy Hopps from Zootopia.
Yes.
It's a fun character.
Ginny, what was her name that voiced her?
Oh, I can't remember. Stop.
She was also on the live action one that we used to watch all the time, about all of the fairy tales. Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. Oh, that's right. Yes.
That actress that played Snow White.
Yes, she played Snow White.
Jennifer Goodwin.
That's it.
Yes,
Jennifer
thank
Goodwin.
You.
Yeah, she voices that character.
Yeah, Jason Bateman in that one, too.
Yes.
Those two were so good together.
Big, big fan.
It makes you wonder if they were actually ever in studio together when they recorded those voices.
That's a good question. I don't know how much they do that anymore. Right. Yeah.
They don't do that a lot.
No.
And number 18, Moana from Moana.
Oh, yeah.
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 Fun character.
Yeah.
When this is being written, they didn't have the sequel out. Sequel's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And that's a character that I've seen a lot of little kids love.
Yes.
A lot of little kids have loved that.
She's
one.
Become very popular. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number 17. Oh, gosh. I'm really surprised. This low on this list, Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio.
Yeah. Yeah.
17? Oh, that's pretty low.
That's, no.
I know there's a lot of characters, but
when
I,
you
I
wish upon
make
a star,
the argument
come
top
on,
five.
That's like the Disney theme song.
Yes, it
when
is.
You wish upon a star. Yeah.
I was going to say, if it was just the movie, that's one thing. But, I mean, they use him quite a bit.
Yes, they do.
He's a hard-working actor.
Well, and the fact that he's the conscience of that movie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he should be way higher.
Who did the voice of Jimmy?
I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he, I mean, that is one of my favorite of all Disney songs. Mm-hmm. It's right up there. Yeah. The way he sings it, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gorgeous. I love that song.
It's such a great, well done one. Cliff Edwards, the original voice
Cliff
of Jimmy
Edwards,
Cricket.
Okay.
Cliff Edwards is what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
And Eddie Carroll also looks like did. Eddie Carroll voiced the Jimmy Cricket for 37 years.
Oh, wow.
From 73 until his passing in 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And man, those guys stay in those roles forever.
Yeah,
my
do.
Gosh.
You want to know who the most recent or one of the most recent and currently doing the voice from whenever he can?
Yep.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Really?
He's
wow.
I did not know that.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That is
so cool.
He said he tried to pay homage to the original voice while also bringing his own take to the role.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of his.
And yes.
I just think that's really a great choice.
Oh,
that's
wow.
a great choice. A great actor.
That should be like one of the top five.
Yes. I agree.
Disney
I agree.
Characters.
100% agree. And next on our list after that is a Mulan. For Mulan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's understandable. Yep. Really a groundbreaking character.
In a lot
time.
Of ways, yes. Well,
now, not as far-fetched or not as crazy to see these kind of things, but I think when Mulan came out, it was still right around that time where we were still kind of getting to this place.
Yeah.
To finally have a female character that wasn't relying on a quote-unquote man to save her, and even the song that she sings about who is this girl I see, you know, who am I and what is my place in this world, that was a groundbreaking character.
One of the things I challenge a lot of my young writers with is something that I was challenged with at a young age too as a male writer, that our teachers really made us do, like, okay, write two female characters. Now write them, and it has nothing to do with their boyfriend or husband or a man or anything like that.
Ooh,
just write them. And that was actually, I was like 19, 20 when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize how much growing I needed to do, because I had never had anybody lay that out for me like that.
That's
and
really
I
remarkable.
Think Mulan does that a bit. There is certainly some stuff about her, the certainly the sexism of in Asian culture at times
right.
and some of those things. But it's a show about a person trying to find themselves and so many other things that I think is so relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she was the first like non-European or white Disney princess.
I think that could be correct.
Oh,
yeah.
I think
that's
I'm
right.
Sure you're right on that. Hades from Hercules comes in at number 15.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I had never actually seen this. I just saw this past year.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. James Woods, right? He does.
Yes.
He does a very good job with that. Very funny.
That very slick, slimy kind of, and it's perfect for that character.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that for years. How great he was in that role.
Yep.
I did not realize. I actually think people might have undersold it.
Like
it is quintessential. Like some of his best work is in that movie. It is really good. And Danny DeVito, also extremely good in that movie.
Oh my gosh, he's hilarious in that movie. Yes.
It's another fun one.
Yep.
At number 14, The Pumpkin King, Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's James' top five.
Absolutely.
Technically isn't a cartoon character.
That really kind of throws me off a little
bit. That was claymation.
Yeah,
they did
true.
Stop motion animation for that movie.
Mm-hmm. Took them years to
make
it
really did.
It took them a long time, yep.
Number 13, Minnie Mouse.
Down at 13?
That's insane.
What?
I'm sorry. This list is insane. This list is insane. Jiminy Cricket was one thing, but Minnie Mouse being that low on the list.
Mickey and Minnie should be one and two. Come on.
Absolutely.
It all started with a mouse. Disney even said that. Walt Disney said that. It all started with a mouse.
How can you have this list and have that phrase being there and not have her in the top five?
Right.
Like, I don't know how that happens.
But I have to give her name escapes me now. The voice of Minnie, she's been doing it for so many years. And because she also does some voices on The Simpsons.
She does
Martin, a couple of the kids, some of the boys on The Simpsons.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I know.
Yeah.
She was married to the former voice of Mickey, yep. Wayne Allwine.
Yep.
Why can't
Caitlin Robrock, Rusty Taylor.
Rusty Taylor.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Maybe she's retired now, but she did Minnie for so many years. And like I said, she was married to Mickey, which is so romantic.
I mean, that was just perfect.
By the way, Beth, you did get an autograph from Mr. Allwine at one point, didn't you?
When I was working at the Animal Kingdom had just opened, they came into the restaurant that I was working with some characters, and I had made an offhanded joke that I had asked Mickey, who was the character there. I'm like, I was a dollar short in my check this week or something like that. Next thing I know, there's this dollar bill that comes backstage to me signed by.
Oh my God.
That said, sorry you missed this. How cool is that? Yeah.
Great line. Oh, that's funny.
I still have that at home.
She does.
I kept that one. Yep.
That's awesome.
And that I should frame that one and put that up.
Yeah,
somewhere.
It might be something to frame. Yeah. That might be something to frame. Yeah. Rapunzel comes up at number 12 from Tangled.
Yes.
At number 11, Babu from the Jungle Cave.
Blue.
The great Phil Harris. Love Phil Harris.
Some of the best songs in Disney history.
Yes.
And one of the, I mean, again, another one of those ones where it could have been, I'm surprised it's at 11, it's right there, but it's hard to imagine not a top 10 character.
Yeah.
And number 10, Cinderella.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am really impressed at how many of the quote unquote princesses, I mean, they're all called princesses, the Disney princess, but how many of these are the female characters throughout the years? Yeah. And we've seen, the newer ones, Moana and Mulan, and of course the classic Snow White and Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how far we've come too.
Yeah.
From what kind of roles these characters played back in the day. And now, what are they doing now? Now they're the heroes, the heroines, right? Yep. They're Moana is the one that's doing the thing. And then you've got Mulan doing all that she does in her movie. So, yeah, it's really interesting.
I certainly have taken my shots at Walt Disney at times. But one thing that I will always give him credit for is how in tune he was with his audience. And thinking ahead on his audience.
Right.
And, man, they have kept that spirit going where they see trends before they happen.
Yeah.
They get on things before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody that tries to give, they're parroting or they're pandering or anything like that. No, they were already doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just caught up now.
Right.
Disney is way ahead, and not just in the way that they create these things and everything, but in getting a tune, hey, we haven't done this. Let's do this and some of that and everything. It's been really impressive to see. And a lot of that is them kind of, just broadening out culture-wise.
Exactly.
Hey, we took care of this particular type of kid. What about these other kids that would like to watch this stuff and envision themselves on the screen and as these characters and everything? And that comes into play with number 9 with Aladdin, where the genie comes in at number 9 on Aladdin.
Okay.
But the play, the movie itself is, again, one of these times where you have a Disney princess that does not look like the other Disney princesses.
Yep.
And
right.
A lot of that, the setting, the characters.
And is a feisty, I can do it myself kind of character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was, think about it. She was one of the first that did I'll save you, Aladdin. She's like, no, thanks. No, I'm good,
We'll go through a couple of these quick to get to the top five. Melissa Fint from Sleeping Beauty at number 8, wonderful villain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stitch from Lilo and Stitch at number 7.
Yep.
It's a fun one.
That's
a fun one.
Pretty high.
Way too high.
That's just too high.
Tinkerbell at number 6 from Peter Pan.
Oh, that's a good one.
She should have been in the top 5.
Yeah.
She just missed it. Missed it.
Yep.
I think one that might have pushed her out of there is Elsa from Frozen at number 5. And that's a little understandable.
Yep. Totally makes sense.
As far as modern classics go, Frozen became one of the modern cult classics.
Oh, my gosh.
Quickly.
It was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
We can't let it go.
Oh, no.
That's good.
Oh, man.
At number four, Winnie the Pooh.
Yay.
Winnie the Pooh.
What's not originally a Disney
character. Not a Disney character.
Neither was Cinderella.
That's true.
Neither was Snow White.
Most of them weren't.
It was Disney's interpretation of somebody else's work.
That's true.
I feel like they should have stuck to that, though. The actual Disney created characters. I think that would have been a really cool list.
That would have been a
But this is a fun
list,
too. Yeah. This has been fun.
Who doesn't like Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's just great. Classic. Number three, Goofy.
Yep.
Goofy.
Had to be up there. Yep. Had to be up there.
I'm a Goofy guy.
Yes, you are.
He's my favorite. Yeah, love my Goofy.
In more ways than one, sweetie.
I have modeled my entire life after him
and
his philosophies.
And we're working with him on that, everybody.
I've been trying for almost 15 years now.
I wouldn't have thought of it, but as soon as I saw this list, I'm like, oh, yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. That's
Absolutely,
a top five.
Yeah.
But top five. But yeah, you can't think of Disney mm-hmm. without thinking of Goofy.
Yep.
At number two, Donald Duck.
Of course.
Donald Duck.
Yep. Donald Duck.
It's really cool to see, actually. Of all these years and stuff, it's not surprising to see some of these characters. But Donald's character was not necessarily built for marketing, to promote and everything. And yet somehow this character is just so adored and so loved, while also kind of, he can also be the bad guy and stuff.
Yeah, he's kind of an antagonist. I mean, he wasn't originally, but he became an antagonist to Mickey, right?
In some ways,
in a lot of ways. Yeah. He was always the one. He was always jealous of Mickey and all of what he got to do.
He wanted his own attention, right?
Yes,
he wanted people, look at me. I'm not as bad as you think. And it was always so much fun to see him get flustered.
Yes.
He's probably, for my money, he's the funniest of all the original Disney or of the Disney created characters, because he's the one that had all the bad stuff happen to him.
Yep.
And that's funny.
He just could not catch a break.
No.
And at number one on the list, Pluto. No. It's really? Mickey Mouse. Of course it's Mickey Mouse at number one.
Yep. All right. There is a character that I think that should be on that list that's not, and it's a newer character from Encanto, Luisa.
Oh, I've heard that.
And part of it is, Disney, when they did all of their marketing for it and they did all of their merchandising for it, they really focused on the girly girl, mm-hmm. Isabella.
Yeah.
And they were pleasantly surprised and not surprised in a way, Luisa. Because young girls and women want this strong role model.
Yeah.
And that's what she was. And she showed the pressure. Women are under societal pressure and expectations of how we are supposed to act and behave. Mm-hmm. She claimed that and then still was true to who she was.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great ones out there. Mm-hmm. That's a great mention.
I kind of wish they would have divided this up, though.
Yeah.
Because I would have liked more of the more classic characters to find out where they would be.
Pluto,
right. like you said, Daisy and all these other ones. But I get it. It's an old company. They've been around forever. And they've got lots of characters.
I get it. 100 years of characters. So it's a tough call.
It's a lot, yeah.
And you go ahead and have fun with this ranking list and rank them where you like to as well. And thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Beth, thanks so much for hanging out with us on Director's Cut.
It's always a joy.
Today.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. Great work, everybody.
It is. And don't forget, get your tickets for Hate Mail, everybody, coming up Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock at the Lois Canton Studio Theater Director's Showcase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these two fabulous people will be on stage. So you're not going to want to miss it. And that is going to wrap up Director's Cut for tonight. So long, everyone.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Well, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.